بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على البغاة الظالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق الله أجمعين، سيدنا مولانا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، والصلاة والسلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وارض اللهم عن صحابة رسول الله المخلصين المحسنين المتقين، وعمن اتبعهم بإحسان وتمسك بالثقلين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. طيب، today we'll continue inshallah with al-tahawiyya, and we have finished pretty much the parts that pertain to tawheed. We're going now in the general aspects of Aqidah. And Al-Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala says about the, of course, first Al-Hawd. وَالْحَوْضُ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهِ غِيَاثًا لِأُمَّتِهِ حَقٍّ. The basin. The basin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where people will be gathered. May Allah gather all of you around the basin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is true. Okay. وَالشَّفَاعَةُ الَّتِي ادَّخَرَهَا لَهُمْ حَقٍّ. And shafa'ah is the intercession. And as you know, that the believers, insha'Allah ta'ala, will have the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of that, insha'Allah, those who did not enter paradise first, they will all enter Jannah, insha'Allah. And then Tahawi says, وَقَدْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي مَا لَمْ يَزَلْ عَدَدَ مَنْ يَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَعَدَدَ مَنْ يَدْخُلِ النَّارِ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in eternity or eternally knew how many people will go to Jannah and how many people will go to Nar. That number will not be added, cannot be increased, nor is it subject to decrease. Why do we say that again? Because knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is among His attributes. And Allah jalla wa ala and His attributes, we have, of course, many things, but we have five things we learned. Number one, they are eternal with no beginning. Number two, they are everlasting with no end. And they are not created. They are not subject to change. They are not similar to the creation. So here, therefore, علم الله تعالى العليم. الله تعالى العليم. Right? اسمه العليم جل وعلا. العليم means the one who is attributed with knowledge. His knowledge is eternal, everlasting, not subject to change, doesn't increase or decrease. My knowledge and your knowledge increases and decreases. But Allah ta'ala's knowledge is not subject to change, nor is it created. Because my knowledge and your knowledge is acquired and created. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge because He is the Lord. He is the Creator. Therefore, He's attributed with knowledge. And it's not similar to the creation. Of course, it cannot be similar to the creation. Because we already said that He is the Creator, Jalla wa Ala. Now we go, Jazakallah khair, Barakallah fiqh. Now we go to the Qadar. And Imam al-Tahawi talks about the Qadar and talks briefly, and that's how we will do it. Also, we will talk briefly about the Qadar. And he says, وَأَصْلُ الْقَدَرِ سِرُّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي خَلْقِهِ لَمْ يُطْلِعْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبْ وَلَا نَبِيٌ مُرْسَلٌ. And this is a beautiful statement by Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah. And remember that Imam al-Tahawi is from the Salaf, which means from the first three centuries. So I just want to remind you all the time, don't forget. طيب. What year was Imam Abu Hanifa born? Huh? When did he pass away? No. I mean, 80, almost 90 actually, probably. Most of the narrations say 90. And passed away year 150. Around that time, 80, 90. طيب. Then Al-Qadar Imam Tahawi is saying the exact nature of the decree. Al-Qadar, the decree of Allah. The decree of Allah unto His creation, the exact nature of that is not known to any creation in that sense. طيب. Then what is it? Are we forced to do what we do? Because Allah is the Lord. The Lord forces you to do what you do. Or are you absolutely free to do what you do? Well, you're actually in between. In other words, you are not forced to do what you do every day. Because if Allah forces you to do what you do, then He cannot punish you. If you're forced to sin, I say, I'm forced. I'm a robot. Because some people like that existed. Say, we are only robots. We just move by Allah's will. Of course, we all move by Allah's will. But they figured that Allah's will forces them, controls them, and they what they do is based on Allah's will, basically, which is, in a sense, technical. We'll talk about that. And therefore, they said, no matter what we do, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for us, and therefore, it's His will. We do sins, it's His will to do sins. We not, no. بينما Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you in the Quran al-Kareem, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها
ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صلوا على رسول الله وعلى Very beautiful ayah, I think, and this should constitute the first lesson in psychology. You know, I always say that the essence of every knowledge is in the Quran. And if you, nafsiyat, right? You call that nafsiyat? Ilm al-nafs. Or nafsiyat, or psychology, the science of studying the human behavior, which is called nafs, is all in the Quran. Wallahi, if you listen to Freud, and if you listen to Erickson, and if you listen to the behaviorists like, what's his name, that Ivan, Skinner, mashallah, there's a behaviorist. Skinner is a behaviorist, yes. And if you listen to Pavlov and you listen to all these people, you will only go astray. Because those people just based on their theories on trial and error, on hypotheses. And as you all know, hypothesis by definition is a theory yet to be proven. Well, you have some proven facts here. Why should you take facts or you take fiction? You want to depend on substance or suspicion? Therefore, Al-Quran al-Kareem, open the Quran al-Kareem and look. How many times it says nafs and nafsiyat? Therefore, really, Al-Quran al-Kareem is the mother of the books of psychology. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna nafsa la'ammaratun bisu. Wa nafsin wa ma sawaha. Wa ma ubarri'u nafsi. For example, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. How many nafs? Go look in the Quran. You'll see more than like 20, 30 times Allah talks about psychology in the Quran al-Kareem. So you know where to go and study psychology. Ilm nafs or nafsiyat. You go to the Quran al-Kareem and to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Freud will not take you anywhere. Did you know that Freud was not even a psychologist? He was a neurologist, Freud. Neurophysiologist, really, neurology. But he figured, the problem is with these things, it's okay to talk about them, is that these people set the standards for the entire human race. Now everybody like judges you based on what Freud thought. You're not normal. What makes you not, what makes you tell me I'm not normal? Well, Freud says so. Really? How about if I tell you Freud was not normal? I mean, who sets the standard here? The reason I'm telling you these things, dear brothers and sisters, because oftentimes, especially in the world, they judge people, especially us Muslims, we're judged based on the ethnocentric sciences. Of course, I'm sure you're aware of the ethnocentric, based on certain values of certain cultures, and then everyone else is judged based on those values. You know, I think there's a little bit confusion here. What is normal, what is abnormal, to us is defined by the book and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. That's what's normal. Yet we still like everybody, and Islam respects knowledge. It doesn't matter where it comes from, Islam respects. Al-ilm, no problem. Anybody comes with knowledge, we respect him. And we appreciate that knowledge, and we follow that knowledge, and we take it, and we accept it, and we keep working based on it, and life goes on. Then are we totally free? So we said we're not forced, because if we are forced, then there is no adil. There will be no just. Like I gave the example of, if someone puts a gun to your head and says you must steal the money, and then you steal that man's money, now they say, well, you're sentenced to 10 years in prison because you stole the man's money. Well, you just put a gun to my face and you told me to steal. That's not just. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. So, what is then the point? And we, in this aspect, we'll talk about the fitrah. Fitrah. There is fitrah and there is fitrah. Fitrah bi-ta'. Fitrah means period of time. Wa fitrah, what does fitrah mean? Anyone knows what fitrah means? No, huh? Nature, maybe. Original state. Very close. Okay? Allah created people on the fitrah. And there, to that effect, there's a hadith in Sahih al-Imam Muslim. The Prophet salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi wa alayhi says, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. But we took one hadith that is in Muslim, and the same hadith is narrated in Muslim in another narration, and we left that aside. Now, this is the misconception about fitra. People, this is what people think nowadays, unfortunately, even some of those who learn, they think fitra means Islam. Or the fitra means a set of collection of information that every human being is born with, which entails knowing that there is a Lord, there is a Creator, and Islam is a true religion, etc., etc. That's the conception of many people have. Fitrah, again, the conception is that people are born with a set of information entailing that Allah is the Creator, or there's one Creator, exactly, there's one Creator, and must be, that Creator must be worshipped, and Islam is the correct deen, but they deviate from the fitrah. That's the general understanding, which is an erroneous misunderstanding, of course. And the reason is for the hadith, and here's the hadith. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every newborn is born on the fitrah. فَأَبَوَاهُ. So his parents, يُمَجِّسَانَ. They make him majusi, worshipping fire. Or يُهَوِّدَانَ. They make him Yahudi. أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانَ. Or they make him Christian. That's in one narration. The same other narration, few pages down, in Sahih Imam Muslim still, the continuation of the hadith, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَإِن كَانَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ فَمُسْلِمْ. And if his parents are Muslims, then he becomes Muslim. Therefore, the fact or the notion that people are born with a set of information and telling that Allah is the Creator is an invalid fact by the Quran and the Sunnah. The reason is the fitrah is really the capability and the capacity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the human being once they're born to accept either the truth or the untruth, the right or the wrong. It's like an open page, blank page that is clean. It takes whatever you want to implant in it. If his parents are Majus, they implant the seeds of Majus, he becomes Majusi. If his parents are Yahud, he becomes Yahud. They implant that. If his parents are Nasara, they become like. If his parents are Muslims, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if his parents are Muslims, he become Muslims. Then is that enough? Okay, I'll give you some more proofs from the Quran. And there are a lot more proofs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Wallahu akhrajakum min butun ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'an.
Wallahu akhrajakum min butun ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you or willed for your delivery out of the wombs of your mothers, and you don't know anything. لا تعلمون شيئا. You don't know anything. Very clear text, very clear ayah. Because many people now, they say, oh, the fitra, the dalil becomes to them, the dalil is supposed to be the ayah or the text. Huh? Ayah of the Quran, basically ayah of the Quran, or the text of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now some people who don't have the ayahs, they say, well, the fitra, what is the fitra? They say it's a collection of information that everyone is born with. Know that there's a creator, he's Allah. That's not true. Because the Quran negates that, and the hadith negates that. More than that, another ayah in the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Fitrat Allah التي فطر عليها الخلق. لا تبديل لخلق الله. Which means, the ayah, it means the fitra of Allah, that Allah gave to people, there is no change to that. In other words, the ayah will tell you this. If the fitrah was a set of collection of information that says Allah is the creator, no one can change that. No one can become kafir. But really what the fitrah is then, it's the capacity and the capability to accept what you are a product of that environment that you're in. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمُ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Taught you what you did not know. Many things in the Quran. And therefore, al-kuffar, they did not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor do they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it takes knowledge. And because if another reason is, I don't want to go extensively in this, if everyone is born, regardless what he is born with the fitra, supposedly, which is the set of collection of information, then why did Allah send messengers? If they already know Tawheed, the Tawheed is already there in the fitra, then why sending messengers? Messengers were sent for Tawheed? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent messengers so they can teach people Tawheed. Because they didn't have that in the fitra, but the fitra, they had the capacity and the capability to accept the truth if it's planted in them and if they were in it. Tayyib. Now, we go back to the Qadar, and the Qadar is this, we say, are we forced or are we totally free? We're not forced and we're not totally free. How are we not forced? Because forcing us meaning negating just, and Allah is just. One. Totally free, that is not the case. Why? Because our wills, we will for something. I will to move this cup and put it close to my mouth. That's my own will. I have irada, and I have mashiyah. And Allah Jalla wa'ala has irada and has mashiyah. But my will cannot be executed unless Allah permits for it to be executed. Do we understand the concept? So it's not totally free, but in other words, you're not forced. What you do, you'll be accountable. If you take something and you study, for example, for the deen, that is your choice. You made that choice with the capability that Allah created in you and gave it to you. It's not your own thing. You didn't create that. That capability to understand, and that mind, and that in those ears and those eyes, those are not your own make. Those are the creation of Allah, and because of them you are understanding. And therefore, you only understand by those things that Allah created for you, and by the will of Him for you to understand. So there's no forcing. So you can't say, well, you know, I'm forced. No, you're not forced. You can stand up. You can come every day to the masjid at 7:30 in the morning or 7 and pray Fajr. Nobody knows. You have, Allah gave you that power. So when you don't come, only blame yourself and your laziness. Right? Right. And we don't want to go into Al-Qadar. Because we were actually, we don't have the Prophet ﷺ, and basically the knowledge that is given to us is limited in that, but we knew, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, and the Prophet ﷺ told us, that we are not forced, and it's not totally free. You cannot just do whatever. Your will is not executed simply, spontaneously like that. No, it needs the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be executed. طيب. طحاوي ذا رحمه الله says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ صَلُّوا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. اللوح والقلم, the لوح is the sacred tablet. اللوح المحفوظ is the sacred tablet. Al-Qalam is the pen. And it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen and ordered the pen to write and attack and the sacred tablet everything that's gonna happen. طيب. Now, where is the sacred tablet? Where can you find the sacred tablet? On sitting on the arsh. That's where the place of the sacred tablet. Sitting on the arsh. That's where it's placed. And the arsh al-azim. And that's again not arbitrarily. Here's the hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. In his sahih. النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم says في الحديث الصحيح. And not only narrated by Bukhari, by others as well, but I think Imam Bukhari is enough. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ كِتَابًا صلوا على رسول الله. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ كِتَابًا قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلِقَ الْقَلْقِ. It means Allah ordered this tablet to be written before the creation of people. And the Prophet ﷺ continues to say, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي. And in this sacred tablet, the address of the sacred tablet, and look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rule number one in the sacred tablet, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that my rahmah, Allah says, my mercy overcomes my anger. Ra'uf Rahim. My mercy, imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His just, if He deals with, you know, if someone tells you, may Allah deal with you with His just, that means you're going to go to hell? That's actually against you. It's a dua against you. If someone tells you, may Allah deal with you with His just, it's a dua against you, not for you. Or may Allah be just with you. May Allah be merciful with you. Because with His just, we will all burn in hell. I mean, I'm talking about myself anyway, I'm sorry. Shouldn't be generalizing. Except the Anbiya, wal-awliya, wal-arifin, and these people. Yeah. But the rest of the sinners, like myself, taking a dive, of course. The mercy of Allah, only the one that takes us away. If Allah deals with us with His just, you know that man from Bani Israel who worshipped Allah for 70 years. Every day, Allahu Akbar. During the day, he's fasting. During the night, he's praying. All night long. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah. 70 years. And then he makes dua. Never made a sin. He makes dua. Oh Allah, take me to you and I am on the state of prostrating to you. On sujood. When I'm doing sujood, take me. And Allah wills for him to die that way. Takes him on sujood. In the middle of prayer, he takes him. You know, beautiful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, then take him to Jannah, this slave of mine. He is a very good slave. He worked hard. Take him to Jannah with my mercy. I'll go. With my mercy. And then the slave says, the man, he says, oh Allah, but I worshipped you 70 years. I never sinned. I never sinned. I never did anything wrong. Okay. He says, so Allah, I go with my deeds? With your deeds? Let's put the deeds. Let's measure the deeds with the ni'mah of vision. Vision, you have that vision here. Let's see which one outweighs the deeds. And then all of a sudden his scale went off and was down and said, now take him to Nar, take him to Jahannam with my just. Because there's more bounties. He says, oh Allah, I go to Jannah with your mercy. Mercy, mercy. Yani, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Not only that, the reason we said, because the place, the address of the sacred tablet, Lawh al-Mahfuz, is on the Arsh. That is because the Prophet ﷺ said that the sacred tablet, who Allah willed for it to be written before creating the creation, where it says, the rule there, it says, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي. The Prophet ﷺ continues the hadith, says, فَهِيَ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ. فَهِيَ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ. Which means it is on the Arsh. So you know what's on the Arsh, the sacred tablet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is in Bukhari. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qur'anun kareem fi lawhin mahfuz. Therefore, Imam Tahawi said, فَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ الْخَلْقُ كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِيهِ أَنَّهُ كَائِنْ لِيَجْعَلُوهُ غَيْرَ كَائِنْ لَمْ يَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهِ. If the entire people, they want to omit something out of the sacred tablet or add to it, they cannot do that. نعم. طيب. الله الله. Now Imam Tahawi, رحمه الله, says, صلوا على رسول الله. He says, وَالْعَرْشُ وَالْكُرْسِيُّ حَقٌّ. Comes back again to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Arsh, the meaning of the Arsh is Al-Arsh. What does the Arsh mean? The Arsh. Do we know what the Arsh is? No. All we know that it is great and is the biggest in size of the creation, not the greatest of the creation. Be careful. Here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His Arsh, He says, Rabbul Arsh al-Azim. Azim usually means great. Except when you talk about the Arsh, you say it's the biggest or the greatest in size, because the greatest of the creation is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So, the Arsh and the Kursi are true. They're mentioned in the Quran. We believe in them. And we don't know their exact meaning. And we submit their exact meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they are mutashabihat. They may have multiple meanings. And only Allah knows their true meanings. We don't know their true meanings. Of course, by definition, we know that there cannot be a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in. Number one, because we already know what's on top of the Arsh. Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz. طيب. And many scholars, actually, they believe that the Arsh and the Kursi are one thing. Or some of them believe differently. But anyway, we don't have much evidences on anything or elaboration on anything. Anyway, as you all know, you have the first heaven, the second heaven, third heaven, fourth heaven, fifth heaven, sixth heaven, seventh heaven. You have al-Bayt al-Ma'mur. And then separated from that, you have al-Jannah. Separated from the seventh heaven. And then Jannah, of course, goes in grades. And the ceiling of Jannah is the Arsh of Allah. The ceiling of the Jannah is the Arsh. Of course, the Arsh is carried by four angels right now. By four angels. And in the Day of Judgment, it'll be carried by eight. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٌ. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٌ. At that time, the Day of Judgment, eight angels will be carrying it. طيب. Of course, as you know that Al-Yahud wal-Nasara, as we mentioned in the examples of the Torah and the current Torah and the current Injil, believe that the Arsh is a place for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Creator or the Lord. And of course, this is the essence of kufr. And therefore, they believe really that the Arsh is Akbar, not Allah Akbar. Because they believe that the Arsh contains Him. Of course, He sits on it, so it must be bigger, must be comfortable. So that therefore, we believe that they believe in an idol that they imagined. And to that, Al-Imam Ali Amir al-Mu'mineen says, and here's what he says, رضي الله عنه وارضاه. He says, إن الله خلق العرش إظهارا لقدرته ولم يتخذه مكانا لذاته. And this is of course refuting what some of the Yahud that came and asked him. He said, إن الله, Allah created this great arsh so He can show His majesty and His power. Not that he can make it a place for Himself. Because He subhanahu wa ta'ala existed eternally before creating the place. With no place, when no place was created. And He jalla wa ala continues everlastingly to exist without a need for a place. Because who needs a place? The creation. Is Allah in need? Allah is not in need of anything. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu as-samad. What does as-samad mean? That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anything, yet everything is in need of Him. Naam. Allah, Allah. And then Imam Tahawi rahimahullah said, وَهُوَ مُسْتَغْنٍ عَنِ الْعَرْشِ وَمَا دُونَهُ مُحِيطٌ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَبِمَا فَوْقَهُ. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Tahawi tells you by himself, what I just said, He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not in need of the arsh, or anything other than al-arsh. He is all-knowing of all things, and is superior to them. No. Now we go to the chapter of prophecies and prophets, and Imam Tahawi says, وَنَقُولُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا وَكَلَّمَ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا إِيمَانًا وَتَصْدِيقًا وَتَسْلِيمًا وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالْكُتُبِ الْمَنْزَلَةِ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا عَلَى الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينِ. Basically, this is a general statement that we believe in all the angels, we believe in all the prophets, we believe in all their messages, and we believe in all their books, and we testify that their books are true, that that was revealed to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now he says, وَنُسَمِّي أَهْلَ قِبْلَتِنَا مُسْلِمِينَ مُؤْمِنِينَ ما داموا بما جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم معترفين وله بكل ما قال وأخبر مصدقين. This is very important. صلوا على رسول الله. الإمام طحاوي here is stating something very important, and it's important for all of us. And he says, we call all the people who of the Qibla, which means all those who are Muslims. We call them Muslims and Mu'mins and believers as long as they acknowledge and they accept what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. This is important. The reason is because nowadays people take licenses to declare Muslims non-Muslims. They take it upon themselves. And here is among the oldest texts of Aqa'id in the history of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in the year 239. It's basically very early. Telling us that we should call those of us who are Muslims or who accept what came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Muslims and Mu'mins. Not give them names. Did you know that hurting a Muslim, that means not hurting him, not necessarily because sometimes the power of the word is much more powerful than 100 swords. You can hurt people for years with one word, while if you slap them or break their hand, you can hurt them for only a couple of months. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who cares about people, because he is Rauf Rahim, tells us, in which Bukhari, rahimahullah, narrates in his Sahih, whoever raises a piece of metal on his fellow brother, in other words, whoever tries, attempts to hurt his fellow brother, he's in nar. Basically. He committed a grave sin. So, that's just attempting, and that's just trying to do. Imagine, you know, letting our tongues take a wild ride, and then naming Muslims and calling them all kinds of names, and accusing them of all kinds of things, knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally, all kinds of things. Unbelievable. And hurting one Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ did not say mu'min, did not say muhsin, so you don't say he's not a very good believer, he's not a very strong believer. The Prophet ﷺ said Muslim. As long as he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That's it. There is a diplomatic immunity. So be very careful when you use your tongues, how you use your tongues, how you talk about your fellow Muslims. Regardless, you disagree with them? Okay, you disagree. That doesn't give you a license to talk about them, to hurt their feelings. Regardless who they are. Very, very important. As long as they accept what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And then Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala says, وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ وَلَا نُمَارِي فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ وَلَا نُجَادِلُ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. In other words, we do not indulge into ignorant talks about Allah, nor do we ignorantly dispute religious issues, nor do we discuss or interpret the Qur'an ignorantly. And again, here's another public disease. Public disease is as such. Some people think every Muslim, simply because he was born or she was born in a Muslim environment to Muslim parents and they bear Muslim name, they have a license for ijtihad. And deducing and deducting judgments immediately and issuing fatwas on the spot. And not only that, they give themselves the right to issue religious opinions and talk about the religion totally ignorantly. And this is very serious, extremely serious. And I always ask those people if they know about nuclear physics or nuclear chemistry or they know about computer sciences. If they don't, would they talk about it? If you are a chemist, and I come and I tell you, let's talk about car mechanics. They tell me, I'm sorry, but this is not my field. I don't know. I have to go to study first. Why do we give ourselves the right, without any proper education whatsoever, maybe we read a couple of lines from a couple of pages in a booklet spread here and there, but yet we give ourselves the freelancing permit to go and just talk about the deen of Allah very freely. Not only that, to form opinions based on which we declare people either Muslims or not Muslims, or based on which we declare people innovators or not innovators, or we declare them fasiq or not fasiq, or mu'mins or not mu'mins. By what right? This is the sign of ignorance. Allah Jalla wa Ala says for the Quran, the Kareem, in Surah Al-Hajj, I believe. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina. I think the second ayah of Surah Al-Hajj. What is the second ayah of Surah Al-Hajj? What is the first ayah of Surah Al-Hajj? If you can remind me, I'll read. Naam.
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ ثَانِيَ عِطْفِهِ لِيُضِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدَى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ. So among the people who want to talk about Allah, look at this. And you know it happens everywhere. You get somebody, ayah mutashabiha, who Abu Hanifa and Shafi'i didn't dare to explain, then these people want to get explained. Okay. They want to talk about Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say they yujadil. Yujadil comes from what? Argument. Arguing. They argue. About Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa mina nasi may yujadilu fi Allah bi ghayri ilm. They are not knowledgeables. They are not people of knowledge. Or ask them, are you people of knowledge? Without knowledge. Not people of knowledge. And knowledge, don't think, is learning a couple of lines. That's not knowledge. Because obviously they don't call you a pharmacist if you know a couple of drugs. You have to know all the drugs, then they call you a pharmacist. Or do they? Can you become a pharmacist knowing a couple of drugs? No. Okay. بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدَى. No guidance. No true guidance. The guidance of what their mind tells them, or what they read on the internet tells them, or what they read on the pages, or what they read from the booklets tells them. وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ ثَانِيَ عَطْفِهِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. This will result in dalal and misguidance and going astray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us more. So you know the power of the tongue that you use. Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ.
وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. And you talk and you use your mouth, you talk in your mouth things, and you say things, you utter things that you have no deep, no real knowledge of. Basically the meaning, you don't have any real knowledge of. تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا. Allah says, you think it's easy. It's okay. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. And it's great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very grave in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this in Sahih al-Imam Bukhari. And notice this hadith, this is very dangerous, and it's an alarm really to everybody. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُلْقِي بِالْكَلِمَةِ لَا يَرَى بِهَا بَأْسَ يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي النَّارِ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا. Which means, the slave would utter a word, say one word, مَا يَرَى بِهَا بَأْسَ. He doesn't think it's that dangerous. Serious. ما يرى بها بأس. This word, the Prophet ﷺ says, يهوي بها في النار سبعين خريفة. It takes him to the bottom of Jahannam everlastingly. Which means what? That's where the سبعين خريف. You know that the bottom of Jahannam is 70 years in depth. يعني for example, when Fir'aun and Haman and Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, they come in the day of judgment, they go to Jahannam. First they come to Jahannam, they go to Malik. You know Malik? Not Imam Malik. But he's the security guard of Jahannam. Jahannam has security guard. He's an angel. Alayhi salam. His name is Malik. Malik Khazin al-Nar. He's in charge of Jahannam. So Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, they come, they say, Assalamu alaikum, my name is Abu Jahl. He says, very good, take your card. He dips his card, he goes 70 years in Jahannam. Right away. One shot elevator. That place is for those who will be everlastingly in Jahannam. 70 years. Only those people, yani the bottom of Jahannam is reserved. Reserved for those who will everlastingly be in Jahannam. And like Haman and Fir'aun and Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and the like. And the Prophet ﷺ says in this hadith in Bukhari, says those who somebody may use the word, says a word, doesn't know, thinks it's nothing. This word will take him into the depth of Jahannam. It means what? It means will invalidate his Islam. He will depart Islam by saying this word, with this word, and he would be joining the kuffar that will everlastingly be in Jahannam. Like Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Fir'aun, Haman, these people. This is how dangerous your mouth is. Therefore, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم tells in hadith sahih narrated by Muslim, tells Mu'adh رضي الله عنه, he tells Mu'adh, يا Mu'adh, do you know what throws people on their faces in Jahannam? It's the result of their tongues. The result of the tongue takes people and throws them in a deep depth of Jahannam. Therefore, if you guarantee your tongue, you have saved half of yourself. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, again, man kana qailan, whoever wants to talk, then he should say something good, or should be silent. If you have nothing good to say, then don't say anything. About anybody, or anything. Somebody asked me, should the Muslims curse the kuffar? And denounce them and degrade them. SubhanAllah, I said, our deen is not a deen of cursing and degrading. Our deen is not a deen of cursing and degrading. Our deen is a deen of love, and deen of mercy, and deen of peace, and deen of respect. Someone who doesn't believe in our message, it doesn't give you the right to denounce them in the sense of degrading them as a human being, nor to curse them, nor to do these things. Yani, specifically, you go and say, oh, may Allah curse you all these. Why? Say, may Allah guide you. May Allah guide you. You should actually make dua. Wallahi, these people that you are around, you are living in England, right? We're in England, aren't we? Sallu ala Rasulullah. And we are in this city here, and people, they look at Muslims because we disengage ourselves and we isolate ourselves, purposely. I don't know why. Is the message to come here and to live in an isolation with our own self and our environment? Then how would people know about you? Therefore, people, don't blame them if they think Muslims are terrorists. They don't know. Somebody comes on BBC and says, look, all Muslims are terrorists. So they believe it because they don't know you. Therefore, you need to go and build bridges. You need to go tell them about Islam. You need to go and tell them that Islam is peace. We're not here. We are actually, aren't you all British citizens here? Or live legally in this country? Well, very good. So you have rights. I hope you are. I don't want to be in trouble, you know, talking to illegal aliens. Well, because people think that Muslims are coming from a different planet nowadays. They think we are weird. Something is, you know, they come from different galaxy. You know, I don't, you know, stay away Muslim, stay away from him. Why? Because they don't know you. And maybe when they knew us, they had few bad apples. Maybe it's our job to present, to build these bridges with a non-Muslim community around you, because you're fellow citizens of this country. You have rights and obligations. Use your rights. Just like you have obligations, you use your rights. Therefore, you have also obligations to contribute positively back to this society that is housing you, where your parents, I know many of you are young people, but I went today to the market and I saw some old Muslims there. Old parents. I looked at them and I said, SubhanAllah, you know, those people they came to this country a long time ago, maybe 30, 40 years ago. How hard did they work? So you can enjoy what you're enjoying right now. How much they suffered of, you know, discrimination, they suffered isolation and singling out, targeting. They buy very, I don't want to say cheap, but I want to say they buy very inexpensive clothing. They buy inexpensive things so they can save for your feed, for your food. Wallahi, I looked at some elderly people, you know, their hands are cracked, their skin is old. How much did these people work and put so you can have something? You know, those people, your parents, they deserve so much of you. They deserve so much because they suffered so much. You know how hard it is to your pride nowadays. You go to college or go to work, and you hear maybe an improper word against you or against Muslims, somebody mocking you. How much does it hurt you? Imagine your parents who came from much more pride environment. They came from Pakistan, India, Arab world, whatever environments that they were raised with pride. They were raised with dignity. And they came because they didn't have anything to eat. The reason they came to this country so they preserve their pride, not lose it. They came to this country so they can work, so they can have honor and pride, so their families don't need to lose their pride and dignity. They were willing to sacrifice their own pride and dignity so they preserve their families. That's why. So how much does it hurt you? Imagine how much they had abuse, and because some people are single-minded and arrogant and intolerant. So you can sit here and go to colleges and go to universities and have jobs and all these things. I don't think you can hardly repay them. So don't be arrogant of them. Sometimes maybe you disagree with what they say because they may be unlearned. They may be uneducated, as you might think you are very educated, top-notch. Huh? Everyone is a nuclear scientist and, my dad never went to school. But life is a big school. Life is a big school. Don't take that easy. Don't forget. Don't lose sight of that. But it is your job now to change this. Just like these people, some of people were harsh to your parents, to your elderly, still maybe harsh to you, ignorant, arrogant, intolerant. You cannot face that with the same kind of act because you are Muslim. You cannot, if people do you bad, you don't do them bad. Two mistakes don't make it right. Two wrongs don't make it right. One does you wrong, you do them right. So you have to build bridges with your community. I urge everyone, you build bridges. You have to have an outreach program. Outreach program reaching to even churches and temples and whatever. Akhi, this is Islam. We're inviting you to Islam. Here's our deen. We're not scary people. We don't bite. We don't kill, we don't hijack, we don't do anything. All we have is love and respect for you. And we want to get to know you, and we want you to get to know us. Look who we are. Let's talk about this is who we are. We are human beings like you. We share everything with you. We want hope, we want growth, we want opportunity, we want happiness. We are human beings just equally like anybody else. We have the same dreams, the same hopes. We believe in certain beliefs, you believe in different beliefs. We welcome you to see what our beliefs are like. Maybe you like them, maybe you don't. In any way, we still are merciful with you. We don't have swords hidden behind our backs. And we won't. Islam did not spread by sword, dear brothers and sisters. Very big mistake. Those who think Islam was spread by sword. Islam spread by belief, by passion, by love, by mercy, by peace, by intelligence, by fikr, by intellectual exchanges. That's how Islam spread. But we always want to take, if you disagree with me, I'm going to kill you right now. Even our own Muslims. Because the reason is, and don't wonder, because amongst ourselves, if we disagree slightly, we want to kill the other. Therefore, when non-Muslims look at us, they say, well, look at them. Look how they deal with each other. How can they have any mercy for us? Definitely not. They don't have mercy among each other to have mercy on us. So please, I know I went out of the line for Aqidah, but I think it is among our Aqidah also to have the da'wah established in this country correctly for once and for all. Islam is not only for you, Islam is for everybody. And the dealing of mercy and dealing of fair and just is not only in Muslims. Can you lie? Can you cheat non-Muslims? Can you lie to non-Muslims? Can you rob them? Can you do this? Can you sell them drugs? Can you do bad? Can you contribute negatively to this society? You absolutely cannot. No way. You are a mercy to them. And you better try to show them that. Because you will be accountable for that. And that neighbor of yours that you never said salam alaikum to, or never said hi to, and hello, and here's my name, and they say the first day they close their door against your face, in your face, they slap you around, they tell you don't ever come here again. And again, next year you give him another gift and he say, I just want to give you a gift. This is my name. If there's anything you need, you just keep going. And if they say no for 30 years, that's okay. And if they say no whole your life, then you still keep doing it anyway. And you don't expect anything. The reward is from Allah, not from them. This is your job. So he's terrorizing me with all these notes, you know, again. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala. In 10 minutes we'll meet, inshallah.